Susi. Bienvenidos to the Fangamer Podcast, episode 21, which is, for all of our non-Spanish-speaking folks, 21.
Episode Blackjack.
Episode Blackjack. Episode Legal to Drink. For this episode, we will be talking about getting older and playing games, and how that may have or may not have changed for you as you've gotten older. For me, definitely has changed. We'll also be going into some Fangamer news today. We got a bunch of cool stuff to talk about. Speed Gamers doing a cool playthrough. Our blog revamp, Game Club, good things there. And then we'll get into the show topic. But first, let me introduce, as always, our lovely co-host, Liz B., who is house sitting right now from an epic home. Tell us about this epic home you're at.
This epic home recently had a bathroom renovation where the shower now has the steamer in it, like one shower head, a second detachable shower head, like all the nice pretty clay tile, and many bottles of conditioner and no bottles of shampoo.
Wow, it has two shower heads?
Two shower heads. That is living the dream. This two shower heads and the steam head, which is like on the ground for steam to come up.
That is epic. You're recording the podcast. I'm in there right now because that's where I would be.
Yeah, I've got the steam going, just sitting there with like a, I'm like a big Japanese sumo guy with a towel around my waist and just like gross.
All right, and then our other guest co-host for this episode, you may have remember him from past episodes or from Mick Sweeney's published epic author, Daniel Mick Sweeney's Moore. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm doing all right.
It's good to have you back, man. You're just back from Japan, right?
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
So tell me about Japan, because I know you were there, and you guys got to go to a pretty cool event while you were there, right?
Yeah, we got a chance to see the giant Mr. Saturn in Tokyo. It was in Kawasaki in this arcade there right as I was getting in. So after my 12-hour flight, we got on a train and... Yeah, just got there, and there was a 5-foot-tall Mr. Saturn hiding behind a partition.
Wow.
There was a line out the door for tickets to see him.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Weren't the clay figures from the original guide also there? I don't think it was all about the Saturn, right?
Well, the line was specifically for the Mr. Saturn. You had to get a ticket in advance. And
did you have to pay for the ticket?
No. Okay. The ticket was free, but if you didn't get one, you were not allowed to gaze upon the Mr. Saturn.
And that's the picture of you and Lindsay and Chewie, like, with the Mr. Saturn.
Yes, that is what our ticket bought us.
How long did you have to wait?
Ours actually worked out well. Lindsay had to get up around 6 in the morning and take a train into Tokyo.
What?
Yeah, to get this ticket.
What's the purpose of buying this ticket?
Getting this ticket, because it was first come, first serve, and she had to have a very specific time for after I got back in. So she used her gaijin powers to say, hey, my boyfriend is coming in, and we're both really big Earthbound fans, so can you give me this specific time? And it worked.
Wow. Well, that's great. And
so that's our reward.
Well, it's adorable that she did that for you. It's also incredibly weird to me that, like, you guys got tickets to see a gigantic plushie.
You know,
it was weird being around that many Earthbound fans who I did not know and would never know.
Who you weren't personally on a like a first name basis with everyone, like usual.
Yeah. Yeah, who I had not started a podcast with.
What I was going to say was, I was going to be critical of a country where you can stand in line for several hours to get a ticket to see a stuffed animal, but I realized this is the country where you can stand in line to get a glimpse of what looks like a stain of Jesus on a tortilla. So, Like, I'd rather see the Mr. Saturn, all things given.
I'd like to see both, really. That disdain tortilla sounds kind of cool.
Really? Yeah, I don't think I could like the toast and the tortillas and the billboards with the Jesus imagery. I'd rather see the Saturn and then go get some sushi or other Japanese food. Like, I assume cherry blossoms are eaten.
The problem is there are always going to be newer and better foods with pictures of Christ on them. So.
Well, as for flowers go, I totally ate a flower petal last weekend.
Was it honeysuckle or no?
It was a rose petal covered in sugar. It was when we went to Cupcake Jones with all the Fan Gamer guys. And you know what? Even coated in sugar, not that good to eat.
Rose has a weird flavor. I had gelato in Italy once, and it was like, it kind of tasted like a grandma. It's not very good. Like, I felt like a nursing home was just congealing in my mouth.
That is the Ralph Wiggumist thing anyone will say in this podcast. Oh,
seriously, I'm not editing that out. Sorry, Reed. Too bad. That was great.
It's not offensive. It's what it tasted like.
Yeah, but the cupcake itself was really good. Yeah, Portland was... you guys want to ask me questions about Portland, or did you guys listen to our 30-minute podcast we did?
Oh, far be it for me to say I didn't listen to my own podcast.
Oh, because that wouldn't be surprising. Lucy doesn't like podcasts.
And you know, I am very busy.
You're a busy woman. It's the summer of Liz right now. You have a lot going on.
It's not the summer of Liz until my assignment's due tomorrow night. Then
okay. And then it's just summer Liz all up in this, oh crap, all the time.
I get to get a dog. I get to move.
Oh, so is dog confirmed? I'm sorry. We're going to take podcast time to talk about the fact that you're getting a corgi. Mm-hmm. So you found a breeder.
I am talking to the breeder Reed used for Ruby, who has been very sweet. I love her. She's like the nicest woman in the world.
Okay.
And right now she doesn't have a litter of puppies available. But what she does have is she has a dog that just turned 2. It's a tricolored girl named Ella, who would have been like perfect for shows and everything, real smart dog they trained and is like real great, but has like one ear that's always a little bit flopped over, and so that disqualifies it for like the breeding ring, but
it makes it adorable.
Yeah, exactly, that makes it the cutest dog in the world, and they're looking to place it in a home since they have so many dogs they can have, and I kind of want that dog.
That's pretty great because it's pre-trained, 2 years old. That's a good deal. I was gonna say though, the breeder who we got our dog through has a litter coming this summer again, like the one we got. Oh, if you guys were coming down for PAX Prime, you could try and organize a trip to come and pick up a puppy at the same time. So, you know, just keep that on the, you know, back burner.
Stoked about that.
Yeah. Okay. So Dan, more about your trip. What were some other fun stuff you did? Cause Japan is like nerd Disneyland, right?
Oh yeah. Until I was 14, I was sure I was going to go to Japan and marry a Japanese girl.
You basically did. Like, she's a Japanese, like, it imported to Japan, but she knows Japanese and, like, can talk to them and wear the kimonos and, like, knows how to look at a white guy and be like, you must be so hungry, keep eating.
Yeah, it's close enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what'd you do, man?
Well, I finally got a chance to go to Akihabara, which is truly the nerd paradise there.
Okay, so for those of us who don't know what Akihabara is, what is that?
Which is all of us.
Well, I was going to pretend I did.
It's the part of Tokyo that is just overflowing with, like, all the creepy Japanese stuff, like maid cafes and...
Wait, what's a maid cafe?
A maid cafe is a cafe where all of the waitresses dress up like maids and
this is the thing. There's one of them.
Yeah, and act in accordance to your every whim, and are even more deferential than like most Japanese people.
Wow, that's a little creepy and a little enticing all at once.
It's a lot creepy. They stand out in front and offer you like business cards to that effect.
Are they 18? Like plus.
Do you have a particular age you prefer? Or?
Yeah, 18 plus for that job, definitely.
I think so. I have to imagine. There's a lot of creepier stuff in Akihabara, but I think all the live action stuff is 18 plus. But they also have just a ton of used video game stores and things like that. Okay. So I got to see all of the weird Japanese stuff I've never gotten a chance to see in person before. One of the stores we went to had this kind of this Mother 2 trim running along its walls with all the clay models on it. Looked like they had made it themselves, but it was pretty cool.
Wow.
If you want to send me back some Full Metal Alchemist merchandise, I mean, I will say no.
That stuff was all over the place.
You're killing me.
Are they giving away? Or as soon as you get off the airplane, Liz, like in Hawaii with the Lays, it's Full Metal Alchemist right off the plane.
Yeah, they actually tattoo you with a transmutation circle as you're stepping off.
That reminds me, I need to go back and try and get through that first episode, make it to the second one, see how that goes. Okay, so actually that reminds me of something cool that I want to talk about and have you guys ask me questions about because you're such smart individuals. Mm. We got to have dinner with the Two Player Productions guys who make Penny Arcade TV.
Right.
It was awesome. Like, those guys, they can cook so well. It was really amazing. Like, they made, like, a full, like, I can't even, there was an amazing platter of food, and it wasn't, like, Old Country Buffet volume. It was not just their volume, it was also the quality of a high-end restaurant.
It was Old Country Buffet quality.
No, it was the volume of Old Country Buffet, but with the quality of a nice restaurant. It was a lot of food. Anyway, it was a really good time. Did you guys see the recent episode that just went up where they are filming the Penny Arcade guys getting the Time Magazine most influential, 100 most influential people?
I didn't see that one, but Matt was telling me they did one recently that was about, like, their anxiety problems.
That was some serious business there.
That's real interesting. I want to sit down and watch that one at least.
I got a picture of the pills they use, the Penny Arcade pills that they do at the front of that episode. They had just had that sitting in their house, so I took a picture. But super cool guys, and just it was just really odd that, like, we sit down with these people who essentially don't really know us. They know what we do, and we know them, and we know what they do, but we don't know them. And we had, like, this awesome, like, you know, kind of like this intimate evening where we all were just hanging out together, joking, having dinner together, talking, and it was a really good time. And we're hoping to hopefully do something together in terms of maybe.
Are they gonna make a documentary of the summer of Liz? It's gonna be like the submission tape from Legally Blonde, where she gets into Harvard by, like, showing video around the pool.
Probably not quite that, but it is very likely that if they end up going to, if the Fangamer guys relocate to the Portland area, that there would definitely be some real world Fangamer style recording going on. So it would be pretty epic. It would be a good watch too. I'd watch that.
Yeah, a videotape of Steve sleeping till 3 and Reed being like, do you guys want to go to Trader Joe's? I'm kind of hungry.
you're so short. It wouldn't be that boring. It would be awesome.
Yeah, Steve wakes up to get a text every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, I love you, Reed and Steve, by the way. I say what I say out of total respect.
Yeah, that's what it is, folks. We'll leave that in the podcast for sure.
All right. I love those dudes.
Let's transition. Shall we? To what you've been playing / I'm evolving this Pokemon into what you've been doing, because I have not been playing anything other than Majora's Mask, which I'll be talking about on the Fangamer Game Club podcast. So Liz,
all right,
video games, you got anything? Because I can go into, like, what I've been doing, but I think people like video games better.
I feel like I'm excited about what I've been playing, but I feel like once I say it and reveal what it is, people are going to be like, that's not a game, that's like Farmville. But I
have... Is it Farmville?
It's not. It is Plants vs. Zombies for the iPad.
I heard that is a really great game, though.
It is so freaking good. Like, my father has been telling me since like April 3rd when he got his iPad that the Plants vs. Zombies was the greatest game ever. And it's like, whenever your dad tells you something, like with my dad about a video game, it's like, yeah, all right, old man, whatever. Like, like the dude's probably trying to tell me about Galaga or some crap. But I sat down, finally, when I had my iPad, I sat down and played it. And I was like, oh, this is tower defense. And dad was like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's what it is.
Sure.
And I've always loved tower defense
games. Oh, yeah, man.
And even the crappy ones where it's just like place your blue circle that shoots blue pellets. Those are nice. But Plants vs. Zombies is like a really involved tower defense game, like 50 different units. And
oh yeah, I heard it's pretty epic. And if we can go on the tangent of tower defense games, mm-hmm. Have you played for the DS Ninja Town?
I have not. I haven't heard of that.
It's a tower defense game, so you should hit that. And then another favorite one, it's a, I don't know if they have it for iPad, but I know that for iPhone, gosh, I'm going to forget the name. Let me bring it up here. It's like Geometry Wars in terms of the style of the graphics, but it's called GeoDefense.
That I feel like I've heard of.
That might be on iPad. Anyway, you should try that. It's a.
If it's on iPhone, it's on iPad automatically.
Okay. It's another really fun one. It's actually pretty tough. Like, you play it on easy for a couple levels, like, all right, this is easy, and then they just kick it up, like, all right, now you know how to play. And it's a difficult game, but it's very rewarding. I enjoy it a lot. So so you've been playing the tower. So you have your iPad then.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the one that has the, it's essentially a cell phone that can't make phone calls?
The 3G?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I would say it's a little more than that. It's basically, yeah, it's a cell phone that can't make phone calls, but it's nice when you're on the train or something and there's no wireless signal that you
can
they have something to read or do.
Right. But I mean, if you consider that you can buy a air card for your laptop that does the same thing.
The laptop's heavy as hell, though. It's like a couple pounds and
iPad's
like a pound and a half, but God, it feels much lighter than that.
Opening a laptop is such an ordeal, too. Like, in public, I feel weird, like, getting out my laptop bag and looking for a power cord. And
yeah, you say it, like, with a dryness that I can't tell if it's contempt or, like...
I like to think it's contempt.
This is empathy here. Okay. My laptop's battery has been dead basically since the day I bought it, so it's been not portable at all. So I envy iPad users.
And the power-up noise on laptops. Like, when you sneak into a class late and you have a laptop and you power it up and it's like, bong! It's like, wow, I'm the ass in the class.
Good times. You could put it on, you know, turn on and just close the lid on your way there.
Yeah, I've done that, but I feel like I shouldn't have to. And with the iPad, I don't have to. It's easy, breezy, beautiful cover girl.
It's so good. Especially, so do you guys ever get that thing where, like, you're on an airplane or a train and you have either your laptop or your iPad and you're watching something and then you don't want people to watch what you're watching, or there's people who will watch what you watch?
Yes, I had that problem when on Saturday, I was stuck on a plane where we were about to take off. We were on the runway and then the captain gets on and he's like, we put too much fuel in the plane, so we got to go back because the plane's too heavy and we got to dump it all out and refuel it. Which, that may seem preposterous to you, but in my life, that is the second time I've been on a plane where that's happened. Wow. So, we went and sat on the runway for like an hour and a half, and I watched all of Up. I cried in front of other people.
Up is sad, though.
That tearjerker at the beginning, I couldn't take it. But when that was over, I was like, oh, I have Forgetting Sarah Marshall on here. Let me just prop this iPad up on the aisle seat and watch that. Very quickly forgetting that there's a lot of full frontal male nudity in that movie. Right away. There's that dude's junk.
Yeah.
So I had to skip away from that to the much more benign Hangover, which might have male nudity in
that. It does for sure.
Yeah, there's a little less.
A little less.
So you've got that going for you.
Is that a joke because it's not as big as the other male nudity?
did a you size comparison chart. I don't remember the nudity in The Hangover, but I'm sure Reed doesn't want us to. So we'll
whatever. El Tigre jumps out of the trunk naked. That's all I'm saying.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I think the camera angles are what make Forgetting Sarah Marshall a little more awkward to watch in public.
Yeah. Oh, that movie's so funny, though. When he's, like, sitting at the piano playing the theme to The Muppet Show and just, like, bawling and he can't.
Oh, yeah.
That is the funniest thing in the world.
I'm going to say I haven't been playing anything. And the things I've been doing are boring. Well, they're not boring, but I'm not going to talk about them because...
I don't think skiing is boring. You're among friends here.
I rode my bike to work today. That's not that exciting. Although, considering that I forgot all the key items, the really, really key items, like the bike lock key and the key to the bike locker room on the way in. Yeah, that was great. So I kind of ran around like an idiot around the... security desk saying, you know, I forgot my key to lock up my bike. Do you guys have a key for that? Like, no, but you can put it in our special little lost and found room back here.
It sounds like the worst Zelda quest ever. No, there's no key here. You are missing your key item.
Yeah, it was pretty lame. I ended up parking it up by my desk and just kind of sitting it there all day. And apparently in my building, you will get in trouble for that at some point. So it was, that kind of sucked, but yeah. But you know, it's a beautiful day in Seattle. One of 10 that we tend to get in the year, so it's, you know, it was a good day to ride, especially because May is like bike to work month, so if you're gonna bike to work, apparently this is the month to do it. So
is that a thing?
It's a thing. Seriously,
is that mandated?
No, yeah, because I mean, there's like little, if you hit the right week, there will be like little booths out on the street giving away free stuff, and it's a pretty big deal actually around here. Well, I don't know, maybe it's just around Seattle and in bike friendly cities. I don't know.
In Chicago, it's actually murder someone on your way to work on.
Hit them with your SUV.
Yeah. Get out your Gat month.
No, but I've been really busy, and I'll talk about it more into the main show topic about gaming and getting old. As I get older, man, I'm having a hard time finding time to do anything besides adult stuff. I feel so adult today. What's that about? But Dan, have you been playing any of the Vigi games right now, or what are you up to?
I have been playing games because I don't have a bike or a job. Oh, so I have plenty of time.
What have you been playing?
I've been playing Mario Galaxy.
Oh,
which I never finished. I'm getting ready for the new one.
Are you playing solo or do you have a star bitch?
I do not. Once I ask someone if they want to be that really,
well,
it's not an attractive proposition.
Well, do you have that in context, or do you just go up to your friend and be like, "I've always wanted you to be my star bitch"?
I was going to say, if you use a little less colorful language, maybe you'll find someone who's interested in that position.
My star hoe.
My star friend.
Star friend?
That sounds a little bit worse.
That does. Okay, let me think of something here.
Is it like Bango?
Come on, we're like three English majors. We can think of a way to make this not sound like a creepy pedophile.
Star acquaintance?
Star companion?
My star gathering friend. Star bit specialist.
There you go. But even in one player mode, it's been pretty good.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, it's a great game.
Yeah.
What is your favorite galaxy?
Gosh, I think it's I forget the name of it, the candy themed one.
I kind of knew
Sweet,
you were
sweet or something.
For some reason, because I like that one a lot too.
Yeah, that one.
Candy.
There are some of them where you see the theme and you immediately know this is going to be one of the ones I mention on a podcast someday.
You write that down in your live journal.
I did.
Okay, so playing through that, do you wish that you had a star friend with you, or is it okay to just gather the star bits on your own?
It sounds really sad when you say it that way, but I like how the 3D Mario games are kind of a solo experience, and one of the things I don't like about Mario Galaxy, especially compared to Mario 64, is that there are all of these inane chattering stars and the princess lady, and they all talk too much.
Rosalina?
Yeah.
She has a name.
And all I want to do is find some place on my own and then collect a star there and then find some other place.
Well, that's what they're doing for the new one. They got rid of the overworld and Princess Lumas. Yeah,
I think that's going to be a big help.
Really? You don't like to talk to the little hungry Lumas and feed them as I call them, choco bits? I don't know why I call them that.
No, it's another thing that's a little creepy to me.
You know what I like to do with those guys? I like to feed them up until there's like one left and away. And be like, you want a taste, buddy? Deal. I'm out.
Like, could you make that level a little bit easier? I know you're about ready to shoot it out, but just make it a little easier. I'll give you one more choco bit. It'll be good. Fangamer News. Let's do this, folks. What should we talk about for Fangamer News? One, we have Brian the Broski Jaworski has redone the Fangamer blog, and it is epically awesome now, and we update it on a regular basis. In fact, we are no longer putting the podcast updates on Starman.net. We are only doing those on the Fangamer blog. So if you'd like to read the inane things that we say on there, please go there to read them. But other cool things are being announced on there. We have like this embedded podcast player you can use now to listen to the podcast from the page, which is pretty cool. So we get that. What were the other two things I told you guys to remember for this?
I actually wrote them down.
Not for you, Liz.
The Speed Gamers thing that's going on right
speed
now.
Speed Gamers are playing through. Are they playing through all the Mother games or just the first one?
All of them.
All three.
It's 8-hour marathon. I feel like we should have known this going in, but let me pull it up.
Well, I thought they were just playing Earthbound, but
I think they're playing all three.
Oh, wow. Okay, because I saw them playing Earthbound Zero, which I'm like, wow, I salute you in your epic
real
quest.
Real man of genius.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap, you're playing through Earthbound Zero. Wow, good job. So they're doing that, and they are also going to play through Earthbound Mother 3 then, and we are partnering with them to do a shirt for charity. I don't even know what you call this, but if you buy the shirt, the proceeds that would normally go to paying Reed his salary will instead go to the Susan G. Komen Foundation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's the one.
I remember that off the top of my head. Good for me. And they will, it goes towards fighting breast cancer. So it's a good cause. And the shirt design by our buddy John Kay is the Smash design. And I think there's a sticker that goes along with it. Hopefully there still is. I remember we were trying to get that through Sticker Robot. But it's going to be – I really am impressed with the Speed Gamer guys. Did you guys see that the interview they did with, like, their local news media on their page?
Yeah, I saw that was for the Final Fantasy run, right?
Yeah, it was just really funny. Like, their local media was like, and they have a really big following. And then they, like, cut. Like, it's just that structure of news stories. And then with the Speed Gamers in there, it was just kind of funny how they put the two together. Because it's just like, what is this video games about? What's going on here? But
anyway. Now, I wanted to explain this to our audience in talking with other Fangamer staff members, our intern, Boxhead intern, was... Do people know her name?
They know. Frenzy, I think, is what they know her as. Frenzy. Or Boxhead.
Yeah, Boxhead. Yeah, Frenzy was asking. She didn't know who the Speed Gamers were. And when we explained the concept to her, she's like, oh, why would people pay for that? And then I kind of paused. I'm not sure, but it seems to be working.
Yeah, it works really well. And you know what? I don't know why that works either. But yeah,
you think about it, it's like, I mean, people playing video games for 48 hours and shifts, like, let's call a spade a spade. It's not the most impressive thing that's ever been done. But it is cool, and they are doing it for a good cause, so it's worth it.
Well, you know, have you heard of the Desert Bus for Hope guys? Have you heard of them?
No. Is that anything like that, the boat people who came to us?
No, like, not like the boat people. No, these people are a little more legit than that. The Desert Bus for Hope people play this video game for Nintendo called Desert Bus, which I may be wrong, but it's pretty close to this. The goal of the game is to drive from, like, somewhere in Arizona to Las Vegas. And it's incredibly realistic, but it's still a Nintendo game because all you do is just drive along a desert road. And you got to keep the bus on the road. So it's, like, the most mind-numbing game ever. And so they play that game for so long, like a super long amount of time. And then the more they play it, people are donating to them for various causes. So I know that...
I've heard of that, actually.
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff with the Penny Arcade charity Child's Play. And so they'll go through and they'll have special, like, celebrity internet guests come in and play, like, a segment of it and do that thing. So I'm surprised that this is a way that is making money for charities, but I'm happy that it is, you know? Like, anything that's going to get gamers that kind of good press and see what they can do out there, and, you know, I'm fine with that. I don't care if it's just kind of weird. It works out in the end, so...
Yeah, I mean, the Speed Gamers overall have made, like, almost 150 grand for various charities, which is very cool.
Yeah, I mean, with our meager attempts with our Flogo shirt, we did not come close to that. I mean, that is our first chance at it. I think if we ever really devote our time to it, I think we could probably do something pretty cool with doing something for, like, Child's Play or that sort of thing.
You should consider playing some really mind-numbing, like, video games while this is happening.
Well, Mother is the quintessential mind-numbing video game.
You're killing me.
Yeah. Playing Mother over and over again.
You're killing me. This game is like... I'd rather go to prison and sit in solitary confinement than play this game.
What about playing Desert Bus? Which sounds to me like the snakes on a plane of video games.
Snakes on a desert bus?
Oh, no, I don't think there's any snakes on the bus. All right, what was the third thing? Game Club, right?
Yeah.
Game Club is hitting its...
stride.
What do you call it? Sophomore year? Freshman? Sophomore?
Sophomore
junior, that's the one.
Sophomore year, season 2, we are playing Majora's Mask, which, since the majority of us are super excited to play, is game changer. This the podcast is just like, bam, exciting.
If I may, as someone who's not involved, how is it playing a game that you don't despise?
Oh, it's so good, Dan. It feels so good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll ask you this question, Dan. Have you ever forced yourself to play a game that you don't really like all the way through to the end?
I can't say I have.
Try it sometime and you'll know how it feels.
I would not even do that for charity.
Exactly. And yeah, and then, you know, Liz came out and spilled the beans that she didn't even make it more than halfway through the game.
Oh no.
It was a gutsy move.
And you know what? I don't regret it. The game sucks. And I know, like, Lobo and Crystal and Ben liked it, but only for them. It sucked.
They're going to hate you a little less. I'm happy to say I got all the way to the last one and then rage quit.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that.
For the record, I wasn't kidding when I said that I knew the last boss. Like, after watching the 15th video, I was like, oh, I bet the last boss is going to be some big, dumb tower. And then I loaded the video up, and it's like, well, I'm officially as creative as these jamokes.
But anyway... Game Club is going really well. Majora's Mask is a pretty good experience to go through. I am afraid that I'm always going to be epically behind because I'm just pretty busy. But it's a good game to play through, and we're getting a lot more participation this time. So I'm excited to see where Game Club goes when we get to the next game and see if we can really just keep taking that momentum and building it up more and more each time and getting to games that people are really excited to play. So it's, and nothing else. It's just good to get in there. And like, I always knew Majora's Mask was a game that people were really excited about, but, I never really gave it any time, and I'm happy to be playing through it now. Cause I can, you know, it just opens up that dialogue. So when you go to PAX, you can talk to people when you're waiting in line for things about, oh, Majora's Mask, that's a good game, right? Oh yeah, I love Majora's Mask. Okay, cool. I'm going to keep sitting here and play my DS by myself.
I'm going to sit on this sweaty pillow in a hallway.
Those pillows are not sweaty. Those sumos, they're great. I love those things. So that's it for Fangamer News. pause for epic music. Show topic time. What's our show topic? Our show topic that I wrote
gaming
up.
Gaming in a nursing home.
Gaming in a nursing home. That I wrote up so elegantly that we got a lot of really... I'm happy to say that we may not get a high volume of posts, but the ones we get are super long. People are very passionate about answering. And I like that more. I like people who are engaged in what we're doing. So basically what we're talking about this week is... just discussing our experiences around how your gaming habits may have changed as you've gotten older. Because as I put up the topic, I realized I'm having a really hard time keeping up with Game Club now. Last week, the Fangamer guy showed up at my house right after we finished the last Game Club podcast. And from Thursday through Sunday, I was completely busy doing stuff with them going around Portland. And I just didn't really have time for it. And then I thought about it, well, is that just a coincidence or is it always like that for me? So I kind of looked back past the weeks and I thought, wow, I really only play maybe, if I'm lucky, a day, maybe 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes of video games a week. And then I definitely would have to say that the games that I play are very different. Like, I have a hard time playing things that don't have, like, save features built into them where I can save at any moment. And I have a hard time with Majora's Mask because I don't quite understand how you save in this game yet.
Yeah, they don't make it easy for you.
Like, I'm like, well, so I go to the owls and that's how I save? But then everyone's saying, no, no, the owl saves are dangerous. Be careful. But so you guys, you know, we're all, well, we're close to the same age. Compared to when you were a kid, has playing games and the volume you played them changed at all? What do you think, Dan?
It's changed a lot for me, and it shouldn't have, because I have more free time now than I did at any time before in my life. But I feel guilty when I put too much time into a video game, and I don't have time to feel guilty when I spend too much time reading blogs on the internet or something.
That's more justified to you because it's research.
Well, no, it's just because I don't think I'm going to sit down for 3 hours and read blogs. It just happens.
Yeah.
You're right. That's like the same experience I've had. I can sit down and read a forum for 3 or 4 hours and that'll go by like nothing. But when I sit down and I play a game for more than a couple hours, it's like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, like especially even with Majora's Mask, where I have dedicated time that I need to play. I get to a point where I'm like, oh, this would be a perfect time to stop. Like, I find those moments. I'm like, oh, this would be a great place to stop and go do something else. And I just think it's funny that I can find those moments so quickly now. And I don't know if it's because I have the little puppy who needs to be played with, or I have a lot of other responsibilities now. But I do find that my preferences in games have changed because I'm looking for games that I wouldn't say are more casual, but are definitely easier to pick up and then stop playing. Like, I'm definitely looking for those sorts of games. Like, Reed talked about on one of the past podcasts that Left 4 Dead is a really good pick-up-and-play sort of game, because if you're doing everything right, you get in about an hour's worth of gaming, a really good session of gaming, in an hour, and you're done. And that's it. And you don't have to keep going. And I really look to games like that. But, you know, do you guys – I'm curious. Do you guys, like, have, like, a – well, no. I take it you probably both don't, because I don't think either of you have jobs right now, right?
Nope.
I was going to say, do you guys have like a commute into work where you play games, or at some point in your life were you like me on the bus playing games?
Well, when I had a job, you know what? No, because if I stare at a screen for more than like 5 minutes while I'm in something that's moving, I get wicked motion sickness. So I'm out for that.
What about you, Dan? Have you ever been a commuter to some sort of job where you would have time to play games or do something on the way?
We have no mass transit in the Midwest, so it'd be very dangerous if I tried to do that while I was going to work.
Chicago's famous loop, Daniel.
I don't count Chicago as part of the Midwest. I'm sure you don't either.
No. Nope.
I mean, it's just Chicago. Yeah. You were surprised to learn that we lived in the same state.
I was shocked. I still am. When I think about it, I'm like, Springfield?
Wait, you, Casey, and Liz are in the same state? Why aren't you guys having epic, awesome hangout weekends together? Seriously, though.
Springfield is like 3 hours away from Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Illinois is a big, fatty state.
So, do you guys find that you play more games now or less? Especially considering you both are in the summer of Dan, summer of Liz.
Where summer of Dan right now.
You have some time to play some games. Are you playing more or less than, say, this time last year or this time 2 years ago?
I'm trying to play through Mario Galaxy now, so I feel like I'm getting more in now that I make an effort to. And the thing is, I enjoy playing Mario Galaxy a lot more than I enjoy reading blogs that haven't updated since the last time I pressed reload. But you just have to sit down and turn on the Wii and start playing, which is hard to do.
I find myself resenting the Wii every time I try and turn it on because it just makes everything so difficult. Like,
oh, yeah.
Wireless connection, like going to the shopping and the Wii, going to, like when I went to buy Majora's Mask on Virtual Console and I had 700 Wii points.
Oh yeah,
I couldn't buy any less than 10, and I was like, you know what, screw that, I'll just whip out the N64. It's probably a safer version of the game anyway.
It's funny that you bring that up, but I have the same hate for the Virtual Console or the Wii store. The whole entering your credit card information every single time.
Yeah.
And the worst part is if you mess something up at the end, this is the thing that really made me mad, because I went to buy, Majora's Mask.
Mm-hmm.
They move the yes and no's at the very last screen so that you would default to saying no instead of yes.
So.
And I was on the no when I hit it, and I had to enter the whole, all like four screens worth of data back in.
They're so, just trying to capture that moment in Earthbound when Buzz asks, have you got all this? Do it again.
Do you want me to tell you this 20-minute story again? Oh, yes. Hell yes, please.
Absolutely. You're dying, but yeah.
Yeah, so...
Funny.
So what I did to counteract it, take this, Nintendo, I bought like $30 worth of points. It's like, I don't want to have to
do... And you showed them.
I showed them. I don't want to have to buy your stupid points for another year. So, I win, right? Ha ha ha.
I think that's exactly their goal, which is why I resent it so much. Like, yeah. I thought it was acceptable until I got a PS3 and I used the PlayStation Network store for the first time. And it was like, here, put in your credit in card info one time and buy a game and get charged for exactly what the game costs you. Like, you're a freaking adult.
Yeah, the PlayStation store is quite good, like, in terms of how they said. Like, the Xbox store, they sold the stupid Xbox cookies where you're like... 400 Xbox cookie points equals $2.75 or something ridiculous like that.
It goes to yen and then back to dollars.
Yeah, no, I appreciate Sony's ability to just say, the game costs $19.99. If you want to buy it, that's how much it costs, instead of doing this stupid abstract thing. Although, the Wii store does points, but the points pretty much equal out to the cost of the game, more or less.
Yeah, but it doesn't equal the cost of the game because you can never pay exactly what you want. You always...
That's true.
Float over it, and like, you notice the fact that you can only buy in increments of like on the 10, and yet the games are like, all the good games are 800 points.
Yep.
So you're always left with extra.
Well, it's a hot dog bun situation.
It is the hot dog.
Well, what's interesting is, like, okay, so we bring up the Virtual Console, the PlayStation Store, the Xbox Store. That is one of those things that has made gaming still easier to be in my life, having be able to just go in there and download a game. Because I don't know about you guys, but the closest GameStop to me is up in Northgate, and I don't want to go back to Northgate. That place sucks. And there is nowhere else aside from there in downtown Seattle that you can actually buy games, which is kind of ridiculous when you really think about it. But being able to go into the PlayStation Store and pick up, Fat Princess or something like that for the price it says, and play it, you know, within a couple, you know, take depending on your download speed, you know, 10 or 20 minutes, that has made gaming more accessible to me. And as I've gotten older, those games are far more appealing to me, because I can just go in there, throw down my $20, play it almost immediately, and I can pick up and play as I go. I really do enjoy that. Are there any games like that that you guys play on a regular basis anymore? Like, how about you, Dan? Is there anything like that you can kind of pick up and play and drop in about 20 or 30 minutes?
I play this really awful baseball simulator called Baseball Mogul. It's a PC game, and it's all text, and you have to be just a huge sports nerd to enjoy it at all.
Wow.
I don't think that's a virtual console.
Probably not.
Typing that in with the Wiimote. Pitch.
Let me type in the next command.
My Tampa Bay Rays are currently in the 2035 season, I think. And,
wow, yeah. Wait, what season did you start? Like, what
you start in 2010, and you just kind of you can simulate like a season in 5 minutes.
What okay. You play to where you unlock the fusion power plant? That's what I had to.
Oh man, SimCity is another game where if I didn't have to boot into Windows to play it, I would play it all the time.
Absolutely, I miss that game from being on a Mac.
Yeah, SimCity, those sorts of things. But I think about a SimCity now, I'm like, man. That seems like way too much time investment. I don't think I could do that.
I always cheated on those. Like, those games were no fun to me to play them the legitimate way. So I always jacked up as much money as I could, legalized gambling, and let the rest work itself out. Like, I ran it like a real fun, basically.
It was Liz Vegas everywhere.
It was Chicago, essentially. I was grandfathered in as the mayor, and then I just sold off naming rights to various buildings in the city.
All right, so do you guys ever see yourself, I don't know, 5-10 years from now, just, I'm done with the video games, I quit?
No, probably not, because I feel like there's a fallacy there when people talk about giving up video games, that it has to be a lifestyle. To me, video games, it's like giving up TV or computer, it's too ubiquitous. It's kind of like a function that doesn't have to rule your life, but it's just kind of something that's there. To give it up seems a little silly. Like, it's not a crutch or anything. It's just an occasional time. It would be like giving up Connect Four. It's like, it's not that big a deal in my life that I really need to shake it, so to speak.
I know, but for some people, video games are pretty integral to what they spend their free time on. Like, I have a lot of friends who still play World of Warcraft as almost not just as a game to play, but as their social outlet for the world. I mean, that's where they get their, as in The Sims, they get that social meter full from playing World of Warcraft, because they're hanging out with people on Ventrilo and they're talking and they're spending hours upon hours raiding together.
Yeah.
And that's for them not just a gaming experience, it's a social experience.
Well, I think when people say, you know, will you give up gaming to other gamers, it's that what they're really saying is, do you see yourself in 10 years still self-identifying as someone who plays a lot of video games?
Well, I already don't see myself that way.
Yeah, me too,
actually.
I mean, if it weren't for Earthbound, I would no longer have, you know, it would no longer be this huge part of my identity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, it would be, you know, in 5 to 10 years, having 1/2.5 kids in going, I would be like, any of the games I would play now that take a lot of time probably wouldn't happen. It really would be moving towards that kind of casual space of games that you can pick up, play. Or what I really like about the PSP, getting games like Final Fantasy VII, where you can put them on suspend mode for a long time, or just kind of save at a whim and playing through those, like the games that I know I love, going back to those and not being as adventurous with the choices I choose for new games because the time investment or not really wanting to spend that kind of money on it. And while it feels weird to saying these very adult things, it also is like, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. I wouldn't want to spend that kind of time anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt and I kind of went through this when we, I got him God of War 3 for his birthday, which I have previously on one podcast or the other talked about. I've really enjoyed it. And we talked about how, like, the main game itself, aside from any bonus content or replays, is probably 8 to 12 hours, depending upon how good you are. And at first, like, you kind of resent the fact that you spent $60 on it for, like, but that's, like, $6 an hour, so that's a better bang for your buck than like movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
But at a certain point, like, I don't care when a game is only 10 hours because I don't really want that much from it. Like, right. 10 hours, I'm good with that. Heavy Rain was not that long.
Yeah.
I mean, like, games like Final Fantasy 13, where it's just like, why are you so long? You don't have anything to say.
Yeah, well, okay, that might just be that game, though. I feel like other games could go on for longer and still have something to say. Like, Mass Effect 2 that I played through took a long time, but the whole time through it had something worth saying and was interesting to play. So, okay, let me throw out a big question and chew on it a bit, see what you think. Right now, you know, people growing up with games now are playing the, Uncharted 2s, the God of Wars. They're growing up with these very condensed experiences of 6 to 12 hours of games. Do you feel like this generation of gamers playing that sort of thing are playing just a lot of those kinds of games, and they'll be like us when they get older and just play less of them? Or do you feel like they're going to be looking for something different than we are when they get older, instead of a casual space, looking for some other kind of game out there, like an MMO or really casual games like a Plants vs. Zombies? What do you think, Dan?
I don't know. At least for me, I don't feel like, casual games, and I guess hardcore, is that the word we still use for casual games? Core games, I've heard that too. I don't feel like there's a lot of overlap. And when I feel like playing, you know, something that I can play 10 minutes of, or when I feel like sitting down and playing Mario Galaxy. So I think I just, as I get older, I have more time, more like small blocks of time where I want to play, not Farmville, something that doesn't suck, but occupies the same space as Farmville. Hey,
world, please.
Yeah,
to answer your question, Garrett, you were talking about, do you think kids who are gaming now will go through the same experiences we have, or if it'll be like a reverse effect where they'll want more from games? I kind of think it's just the same thing with every generation as they age, where as you get older, like I say this with turning 23 on Wednesday, like I'm so freaking old, but as you get older, you kind of want your time to like have more merit. Like you start to think like I could be learning something in this time, or at least with forums and blogs, you're reading and you're interacting. Like I spend a lot of time on something awful, but there's a lot of different sub forums and I end up reading a lot of different things. Like I learned how you would take the battery out of the back of a game of Pokemon Blue and totally like re-solder your game. You know, batteries can like corrode and grow their own weird fungus. I didn't know that, but I do know that now. And that's, you don't really learn video games. I mean, you don't really learn that. Well, you know, that's not true. I was going to say you don't really learn anything from books, but you get the vocabulary expansion. Books, I would say, do more for you in that respect than movies or video games do.
Yeah. I mean, you can pick a book that's about a subject that, you know, applies to your job or your life, that the whole thing is about teaching you something. Whereas not every game is about, you know, I can't tell you that the new Crackdown game is going to teach you something about police enforcement that it's at all realistic or useful to you in your life.
So. That might be more realistic than you think.
I haven't watched all The Wire yet, so I don't know. Maybe it turns out to be that. But, you guys, it does bring up an interesting idea that gaming right now, that it's kind of a pendulum, that the gamers now are playing these very condensed, very really good kind of like bite-sized versions of games. You know, it has all the flavors that you want in a game, but that they would want to crave like a Majora's Mask experience instead, you know, when they get older. Like they want a more long game. They want a game that takes 30 or 40 hours, where we're going the other way. I think it'd be cool that if it was the reverse, that they really would want what we're like, oh man, I don't got time for that. I'm old. But so from the forum thread, one of the things that seemed like a common thread, especially with a tip for how to keep playing games on a regular basis, everyone really kind of hit the idea of not only do you have to schedule it out, you really need to be just good at time management, period, to be able to really fit it into your life. You know, Fishsticks throws up an Outlook calendar with all of his stuff that he's gotten and all of his games planned.
I thought that was great.
Yeah, me too. I was like, well, that might be on the extreme end. But, I mean, if you read the majority of the posts, though, everyone says, I make time for it because I've kind of come to that place in my life where I realize, yes, gaming is important to me, but I do need to kind of take time out if I really want to play it and sit down and enjoy it. And, you know, I kind of realize I don't really reserve that time as concretely as maybe I should, because I feel like I'm always kind of scrambling to find a couple 30 minutes here or an hour there to kind of play through game club stuff. So that seems to want to be one of the tips. Do you guys have any tips on what you think kind of keeps you in the game or keeps you moving through instead of just kind of turning to an old fogey and just quitting? What kind of keeps you in games? What do you think, Dan?
I think the scheduling is the most important thing, because if you don't sit down and make yourself, as stupid as it sounds, to make yourself do a leisure activity, if you don't sit down and say, I'm going to do this thing that requires my active participation, all the passive things you could do instead are just going to expand to fill whatever free time you have.
Yeah. Fishsticks also brings up the same point I was trying to say earlier, with that any game that has a real lack of save points, aside from Final Fantasy 13, which every 10 seconds had a save point, other games, though, that don't have a good place to save are a big turnoff for me. And I was going to say, do you guys feel the same way? Like, if you're playing a casual sort of game or any game now, and you can't just save what you're doing and move on, is that a turnoff, or do you guys not care? What do you think, Liz?
I really appreciate a constant save feature. Whenever people have a discussion about saving games, the one that always pops into my head is, for whatever reason, Ocarina of Time, because technically you could save at any point, but if you were in a temple, it would bounce you back to like the beginning room, or if you were in the overworld, it would bounce you back to like wherever you last walked out of. And that always kind of chapped my ass. I felt like, how hard really would it have been for them to just put you in the room? They're just making the game artificially longer by having it be like, well, if you stop now, you're going to have to walk back. And that's not fun.
There's a punitive aspect to that. Like, people even now say, you know, if a game has too many save points, it's kind of cheating in a way, because, you know, in my day, there were no save points. You had to leave the Nintendo on all day.
Back
to Mario.
And that broke a lot of Nintendos. People just leaving that stuff on all the time. I'm sure it did.
I do that. I have a terrible habit. I think two or three systems are on right now with games at various points.
Are you serious right now?
I'm totally serious. There's a Final Fantasy VI, which I've been playing for like 3 months. The Super Nintendo is still on.
Oh my gosh. Your poor Super Nintendo.
Hey, it's a trooper.
It is. So, well, Nintendo products have always historically been tanks of a system.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember, you know, some friends of ours when we were growing up had twins, and they had gave them little Game Boy Advance, the original version, and they like would step on them. But man, the screen was scuffed, but those things sure played just fine.
My SP went through the washing machine. Good as new.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
my car keys to my Jetta, which had a little like clicker function in them. They did not make the trip back. My mom watched that I had a bunch of crap in my pocket and didn't check it. And I mean, I was a kid, but with a car. But
sure. You know,
my SP lived, and so did Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, which probably would have been better if that had taken a big vacation, because that game is cheap.
So as I go through the forum thread, one of the things I'm kind of surprised is that people are saying that their preferences in what games they enjoy playing has not changed as much. And I'm wondering, do you guys feel that's because they haven't made it to a point in their life where the responsibilities they have forced them to do that, or that it really is just a personality, a person-to-person difference, that some people as they get older, will want to play different games, and some people will stay the same. Like, what do you think, Liz?
When I think about the kind of games I play, I occasionally diversify and try new stuff, but I've been playing Final Fantasy games for a long time. I liked Donkey Kong Country series. I still play them a lot, even though there hasn't been a new one in ages, and the third one wasn't very good. I mean, I like Warcraft, and now I kind of like Starcraft, but that basic archetype has been around. I don't really... the last time I tried a game that wasn't in a series that I already knew was Shadows of the Colossus, and went over like a turd in a punch bowl. So, I mean, I kind of stick with the games where it's... I picked a series I liked 15 or 10 years ago, and I don't really deviate from it. I'm happy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't think my habits have really changed since I turned 12 or 13.
Yeah, me too.
Platformers, RPGs, we're gonna look really old 30 years from now when no one is playing that on their holographic systems or whatever.
Their holographic ColecoVision.
Their DS 3Ds. No, I agree. Like, as I was saying earlier, I feel like the only two games I really like to play are those very condensed experiences that can be completed in about 8 hours, mm-hmm. like your Heavy Rains, your Uncharted's. Or, on the other side, are games that I have played before. And, like, the other day, I picked up Legend of Zelda A Link to the Past, and I just started playing through it. I beat, like, two or three dungeons in about 2 or 3 days, and it was just very casual because I knew where I was going. I was having a great time. And that's where I think it's kind of... Is it a personality difference, or is it just coming to the game late, where Shadow of the Colossus, to many people, is how Legend of Zelda is to me. I go in there, and I know exactly what I'm doing, and I have a great time. They do the same as Shadow of the Colossus and having a great time, but whereas me and Liz come to it for a first-time experience, and we're miserable. You know, we want a Drake's Fortune, you know, game, and we're having to freaking climb a Colossus and not know what we're doing half the time. So
yeah. I think we did come in, if I'll just go into this for a second, I think we did come into that too late, because again, Matt and I have been talking about it. The last three games I had played while playing Shadow of the Colossus were God of War 3, Uncharted 2, Final Fantasy 13. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find people who would say that those aren't some of, like, the three or five best-looking games out there right now. Like, probably some of the best-looking games that have ever been made graphically. And to go back to Shadows of the Colossus, like, everybody's talking about how artistic and the graphics, and I thought it looked terrible. I mean, the colossi themselves were well-designed, and I liked the art of it, but it was just not good to look at. Yeah. I feel like I would have found it much more moving when it was impressive for its time.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say, that when it comes out, when it came out, I wish I had been there and jumped on the bandwagon, because I probably would feel the same way they do now. But so one of the things that is another interesting theme in the topic, James 8:16 brings up about, to the question of how this has the amount of time you play change, how much do you play on average? And he says that I played way too much in college, mostly thanks to WoW, which me and Liz can talk to. I would pour 20 to 25 hours per week into raiding alone back in the Molten Core Blackwing Lair days. But I have since gotten that under control. I still probably spend a solid 15 hours a week on games, more if I hang out with gamer friends. That's pretty rare, though, since most of them have moved away since graduating.
Sad face.
It's sad face. Yes, he does put the sad face on there. I was super hardcore into World of Warcraft, to the point that I got Jen into it, and she would play with me, and we'd raid and do that sort of thing. But now I look back to that time in my life, and I say, when I was there, I would tell myself, this is how I want to spend my time. I'm having a good time. And now I look back to it saying, no, that was excessive. That was not a well-balanced life. I was playing entirely too much.
And those raids weren't even that fun, right? Like, when you're in your sixth hour of multi-war and you're on, like, Gehennis or something, and you're just like, I want to go home. And you realize you're at home and your life is garbage.
I think about what was actually fun, and it was the things that actually have nothing really to do with the game. Yeah. It was the people in Vent who were really funny people and told funny jokes about things that were happening, or when someone would play music, or when someone would forget to let go of their push to talk, and you'd see them and hear them talking to their dog. They're like, "Oh, I love you, Whoopi Whoopi. You're the best dog."
There's a dude in Matt's Guild who does that with his cat all the time. He's like, "Hello, Mr. Whiskers. How are you doing?"
See, but after like the 20th time, it's not funny. But the first time when, like, you know, warrior orc heavy duty epics, you know, has the best loot, hardcore guy who's the best at PvP, you hear him go to his cat, "I love you, Mr. Snuggle Pants. You're the best." That is one of the funniest things to experience in life, I have to say.
You know, Garrett, I thought you'd appreciate this. You know that one sword, Thunder Fury, I think it was?
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy in Matt's guild, which is elitist jerks, sorry to out him like that, but who 5 years ago got one of the bindings for Thunder Fury, and every Saturday for 5 freaking years has
gone
back to get that binding, and he just got Thunder Fury last week. Every Saturday.
Oh,
like 3%. So he is extraordinarily unlucky.
That is incredible.
I mean, that's about 250 runs over 5 years, once a week.
Wow. We had 2 Thunder Furies in our guild. So to give it a little background, because we're already talking about it, I'm sorry for the people who hate WoW.
Well, 5 years of anything, I had to share. It's impressive.
Thunder Fury is this... is it legendary that those range items?
It's a legendary. It's like a tank sword that slows, I think, the opponent's DPS.
Right. Put this debuff onto the enemy that would do like a wind animation around them and slow them down. Anyway, it was essentially one of the best weapons for holding the attention of an enemy boss because of the speed at which it attacked, the weapon proc, the damage, all the different stats.
And it was just really rare and kind of cool.
Right. It was the process that you had to go to get this was, I mean, you had to run this instance and hope for 2 different core pieces to drop. And then all of these different really rare items that only a 40-man team of players could gather on a regular basis, you needed a ridiculous sum of those materials. You needed like what it would essentially take a normal guild at least a month of playing to gather and then give them all to one person. And let that person then build this epic, you know, item. And the fact that it took someone 5 years, and I think that, like, oh my gosh, I could never spend that kind of time now. I would rather take my dog for a walk and then come home and play Chrono Trigger on the DS for 30 minutes before I go to bed.
And the thing is, Thunder Fury has long since been outclassed as a tank sword.
It's not good anymore.
Yeah, and it's not that impressive because... I mean, who's got luck like that where they can't get a drop like that over several hundred times?
Someone who spit on some babies at some point or something like that. Yeah. So Anne K brings up an interesting idea for a tip of, you know, what do you do to play games regularly? She keeps her DS by her nightstand and plays it before she goes to bed. Do you guys find, this is kind of maybe goes off topic a little bit, but do you guys find playing games relaxing or more engaging? Because I think that if I'm playing a Phoenix right before bed because of all the reading, it's going to make me sleepy and go to bed. Mm-hmm. Reading a book would have done the same thing. But if I'm playing something really engaging, it works me up and I get less tired. So I don't feel like that's something I could do before bed. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, it's a video games, or at least the video games I play, I guess. They're a very active form of entertainment. You have to... a lot of games, if you're not paying enough attention and you're too tired, you're going to suck at them and it's just going to frustrate you. I don't think I could do that, except like you said, with Phoenix Wright or with an RPG or maybe a game I've played before.
Yeah, RPGs are kind of like the death knell for sleepiness. Like when you're in the overworld and it's something like Chrono Cross where it's just like somebody strumming the guitar and there's seagulls and it's like, I'm not staying awake for this.
Sleep
right now.
Which, it's kind of funny because I think I kind of tried to attribute it to classic literature. A lot of books now don't appeal to kind of the upcoming age of, you know, readers, but there's such, you know, there's these important experiences for them to go through, like reading Dickens or, you know, Chaucer or something. But a lot of the forum threads, when they go to the question and their response to how do you perceive the next generation of gamers and their habits in gaming, a lot of people say that they're not going to like the things that they see now, and that because of their advanced technology, of playing games that they're not going to go back, and that an idea like Game Club to someone who is 15 now is going to be ridiculous. I'm not going to spend time playing something that came out for PlayStation 2. I mean, that's preposterous. That's kind of a common theme throughout.
Well, I would say, doesn't Fangamer have a pretty large, you know, under 16 contingent of...
Surprisingly, yes. Yeah. I still don't understand how that works, but yes.
Yeah, I've never understood that either, but, like, how do you find Earthbound? I mean, it was hard to find on launch.
Yeah.
I guess it really does speak to the kind of classic... that it has these archetypes and classic ideals within it that really appeal to people. And I mean, we've talked about it before in the cast. There are things in Earthbound that games today still don't get right.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are very simple things, and going back to older levels in the game and having the enemies realize that you are now very strong and you're to be feared. I love that about Earthbound. That's one of my favorite things. That just
does that appeal to you emotionally? Because it sounds like it does.
It does. Very few things do, but it's just because it appeals to me emotionally because it's so such a smart thing to do, and no one's done it since.
Everything about the way they handled the encounter mechanics in that game is really clever. Like the sneaking up, the instant wins on the old stuff, the being able to run away. Games still don't get that right, like you said. That's the way it should be for everything.
I'm hoping one day that a lot of games do start to adopt that. Maybe when Fangamer makes its first video game and uses those things, maybe people listen to us then.
Haven't there been like multiple projects, Mr. Sparkle?
No, I'm talking Zoids about
is what you're...
No, Ryan is graduating from computer school here in a couple weeks. We're going to get him on that, making some sort of Earthbound 4.
Hollywood Upstairs Computer College.
Yeah, he's going to jump on that. So anyway, I want to thank a lot of the people who posted very great ideas and topics in the forum thread. I read through them and did appreciate them. So please keep it up for our future casts. But I think in terms of final words, do you guys have any things you'd like to close off our discussion on? Getting old, playing games, anything to, before we give it off to Kevin?
I'd just like to say that sometime before the fifth time you check Engadget and realize that it's the same post you've seen all day, just think, I could have more fun if I actually turned on the Super Nintendo and played something I enjoyed. Please do it, because I don't.
Or just turn the TV on, because it's already running.
Yeah.
All right, Liz, final thoughts?
I have two final thoughts. They're both brief. My first final thought is that the people who think that kids won't want to try out games because the technology will have advanced so much, I feel like that's saying that people in their 20s today wouldn't find any humor in Blazing Saddles because that movie's so old. Like, some things are just timeless. And my second thought, my final thought is that of all the podcasts I have done, of all the podcasts in all the world, I have enjoyed the conversation in this one, probably the most of any podcast we've done, because it actually, like, this was a good conversation, and I kind of forgot we were doing a podcast. I was talking with my people. I felt this, like...
It touched a special place in your heart.
It was beautiful.
If you'd remembered it was a podcast, it would have just lost all of its appeal to you.
Yeah, it would have been boring. I don't really like podcasts.
Jen, I can't wait till Jen hears this and gives me feedback on how we did. She always has really good comments on what we can do to improve, and I'm hoping she says that was the best podcast you've ever done.
I think it is. No. I mean, you haven't edited it yet. I have no idea how you'll screw it up. But...
That's true. I have plenty of opportunities to do foul things to the podcast, so.
Surprise you, maybe it won't, but I'm not exactly a gamer in my prime anymore. Yes, in the more than a quarter of a century I've been on this world, and many other virtual ones like it, I've seen my share of highs and lows, and it seems that with every passing day, each new challenge of console and computer, I'm just not competing the way I used to. The ravages of age are many and varied, and I suspect the river of time has taken its toll on me. First of all, my memory seems to be a little shakier. I used to be able to play a whole RPG without once referring back to previous encounters or conversations just to figure out what to do next. But now, more than ever, I find myself writing down notes on what the townsfolk have to say, and drawing maps, maps of dungeons. What's happening to my gray matter? Is it actually degrading, or do I just have too much stored up there already? There's no way to tell, but in either case, it's a source of frustration. My reflexes are starting to go on me, too. I'm not the young man I was once in high school. I can't reach the buttons in quite the same fraction of a second anymore. Ordinarily, I wouldn't notice, as most games are quite forgiving, but once in a while, a quick time event gets the better of me, or my opponent manages to outdraw me. And it forces me to wonder, if I could have gotten in just that much sooner, just a moment, would I be more alive than I currently find myself? And I tell you, these pangs in my thumbs, these sharp retorts in my fingers, I'd be lying if I didn't say they felt like the first precursors to arthritis. Won't be long now before I'm taking Centrum with my orange juice every morning. Also, my memory seems to be a little shakier. I used to be able to play a whole RPG without once referring back to previous encounters or conversations just to figure out what to do next. But now, I just plumb forget what I'm doing. And I know there's some kind of way I could remind myself. Something to do with pen and paper, some sort of written thing. Whatever. If I think of it, I'll let you know. And my eyesight. Kids, if I had a nickel every time I got caught out by some mook sneaking up on me from the side because I didn't see him, I could afford some of that laser surgery. And it's going to get a lot worse, too. As my vision is declining, the designers are all moving into this whole new phase of three-dimensional environments. Thanks a lot, James Cameron. It's not going to be enough that my peripheral vision is failing on me. I'm going to start going nearsighted, and I won't be able to tell the bad guys in the distance from the trees. How am I supposed to clear these guys off my lawn when I can't even tell where they are? It's disrespectful, I tells ya. And finally, I think my memory is getting a little shakier. I used to be able to remember all kinds of things. The names of video games, the controls for my video games, why I'm talking about video games right now. But now it's almost like I don't even remember what a video game is. They're like these things that are games, but also videos. Something like that. I guess it's a moot point. What I'm trying to say is, be good to your knees. You can't play Dance Dance Revolution without them. For Fangamer, I'm, starts with a K. Kevin, that's it. I'm Kevin Williams for Fangamer. Get off my lawn.
All right. Well, let's close it out. Liz, I am going to make you go through the full entourage of how people can contact us. But before we do that, Dan, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show. You're a gentleman and a saint.
Thank you. It was great to be back.
Do you have any things that we can pimp out here on the podcast? I know your McSweeney's thing is already kind of come and gone now.
I don't think the people here would be very interested in sports blogging, but I would like to say that the lovely Chewy and I are currently running the Mother 2 novel translation blog.
That's right. Yeah. We should have
on novel.fabi.net. So that's my plug.
Okay. No, that's a great one because I know it sounds like I wouldn't be because I'm just would say it for the podcast, but I'm really excited to see that. Like, that's a really, I am a nerd. I love Earthbound, and I think that'll be a really cool thing to read.
It's gotten very interesting as the chapters have moved on, and I'm reading it as I'm writing about it. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, like, because I know that me and Clyde had talked about this once because he had done a post somewhere about what were, like, literary inspirations for the guys who made Earthbound. And I went and actually tried to find some of those books and their translations and kind of read through some of them, and it was really telling. You could see some of the inspirations they got from those things. So I'm looking forward to kind of seeing how that turns out. So, all right, Liz, close us out. Let's end this podcast.
All right. If you want to get a hold of us, there are so many ways you can do it. You can get a hold of us via Twitter, which would be twitter.com/fangamer. You can get a hold of us via Facebook, which you can search for Fangamer on Facebook. You can get a hold of us on Flickr, which, are we Fangamer now or are we still?
No, we're still working. We're still Reed, man.
All right. You can get a hold of us on YouTube. We are FangamerNet. On Vimeo, I believe we are Fangamer. On starman.net, which is kind of our sister site. You know, we go back always. That's kind of our forum home base. You can buy things from us, and especially it'll be over, so this is kind of a post-mortem thing for me to say, but we are doing the shirts currently for the Speed Gamers Marathon. So if for some reason Garrett cranks this out really quickly, and it's like 36 hours from when we're talking about it, they're still up. But
you never know. Maybe I will. Yeah. Maybe tonight. Who knows? But yeah, get them. From how they're selling so far, I would suggest if you're interested in one of those shirts and you hear this and there's any left, you should probably get one.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have the blog, of course, which is fangamer.com/blog. Does that sound right?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, we have sold a lot of those shirts.
Yeah, it's
all going to a good cause.
Yeah, it feels good.
Let me check before we sign off. I want to see if we're out of any of the sizes already, because I want the world to know.
Yeah, that is something we need to be better about, kind of tweeting and letting people know, hey, yeah, we're out of extra smalls.
Yeah, people keep asking about hatness, too, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't know. Yeah,
people, well, if it makes them feel any better, we're poor. Yeah. We can't afford hatness right now. We will restock it as soon as we can.
Do you
see the sizes? Because I'm looking it up right now and I don't see it yet.
I see the sizes. It looks like the only one we're real low on is small of the baby blue and navy women's baby rib, which the name, the Speed Gamers really got quite a kick out of trying to figure out what baby rib meant. And the extra small men's heather blue and navy raglan, we only have a few left as well. But we're pretty decently stocked on everything. So if you guys want to stop by and check out our stuff we're doing with the Speed Gamers, that would be very cool.
You should do that. All right, guys. Well, we're going to sign off for episode 21 of the Fan Gamer Podcast. Thanks to everyone who participated in the forum thread. Next week's topic, we haven't thought it up yet, so please participate in whatever it happens to be. Dan, thank you for being on and telling us about Japan. It's always a pleasure again.
Thanks.
And Liz, I know you're off in your epic house now grilling delicious chickens. Thank you for being on as well.
The chicken was gone, so I had nowhere else to be.
All right. All right, everyone. Adios. Have a good night.
Good night.